middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And I thought since we've been fasting and we'll continue to fast here in the next few weeks, that tonight I would talk about prayer. Because when you prayer and fasting, don't do a lot of good to fast if you don't do any praying. Fasting helps get us into the place so we can get our prayers answered. And fasting don't impress God, but it just gets us to the place where we're willing to subdue this flesh and deny this flesh a little nourishment, physical pleasure of eating, and give ourselves continually to the Lord. And it's mentioned over and over and over and over and over in the Bible. Now look at verse number 5. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest. I think a lot of people think that means an if. It didn't say an if you pray. It said when you pray. Taking for granted you're going to pray. Surely you pray, don't you? And when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues, you know, to be show off, and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Now, hold on there just a second. That does not mean that you can't pray at work. That does not mean that you can't pray driving down the road. That does not mean that you can't pray while you're out working in the yard. It means in your regular prayer time, get by yourself somewhere if you can. That's what it means. That means don't come out here and say, go on the street corner and say, oh God, bless the youth rally. Everybody see me? Oh God, bless the youth rally. Did you see what I'm doing? Oh God, that's what it means don't do. That kind of prayer is a waste of time. Waste of time. He said, you go get in your closet, get down on your knees where nobody can see you, and you say, oh God, oh God. And he said, thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Now we need everybody to settle down now and stay down. Okay? I want to preach tonight on what happens when we pray. What happens when we pray? You know, there's a lot of people tonight that believe praying is a waste of time. And most Christians evidently believe it's a waste of time. The world out there tonight, a lot of them say that you're wasting your time when you pray. And some prayers are a waste of time. When you see them Jews over there on that Wailing Wall and they're doing like this and all of that, most of that's a waste of time. Any prayer that does not go through the name of the Lord Jesus, it don't get no higher in the ceiling and is a waste of time. Doesn't matter. It's not an anti-Semitic statement or anything like that. It's just a fact. It don't matter if you're Jew, Gentile, little, big, black, white, rich, poor. You have to go to the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ. Any prayer where a person just twiddles beads and recites prayers and has vain repetition is a wasted prayer. You say, Hail Mary, our Mother of God, full of grace, remember us now in the hour of our death. Hail Mary, Mother of God, full of grace, remember us now in the hour of our death. Waste of time. Vain repetition. But he said, when thou prayest, he tells us what to do. You know what the world thinks about prayer? The world thinks, if this makes you people feel better, then fine. You go ahead and pray. Listen, we don't pray because it makes us feel better. Matter of fact, real praying don't make you feel. It's work. Real prayer is work. The Bible said when Jesus prayed over in the Garden of Gethsemane, that his sweat dropped off of him like blood dropping off. It's like great drops of blood hitting the ground. That ain't a lot of fun. That's work. That's work. And if you've ever been to an all-night prayer meeting, which we're going to have here in a few weeks, it's not fun. It's not fun for the flesh. We'll be having an all-night prayer meeting the Friday night before the week of the youth rally on about the 20th, somewhere along in there, whatever that date, that Friday night is, like we always do.
And it's not a lot of fun.
We don't do it because it's fun. We don't do it because it makes us feel better. We don't do it because it helps us to cope with our problems in life. And so that's what the world thinks. They think, well, I'm glad that you religious people find some consolation in praying and that it helps you. Now, really, we know that's a bunch of junk. But if it makes you feel better, you go right in. That is not why we pray. Ladies and gentlemen, we believe with all of our heart that we have tonight in heaven a Heavenly Father that hears us when we pray and that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. You know why I pray? I pray because I've seen God answer my prayers. I've prayed a lot of prayers that didn't get answered yet. But I'll tell you one thing, I've seen enough of them answered to make me believe in keeping on praying. I believe in praying tonight. I believe when God moves when we pray. And everybody, please now, stay down. Please now, everybody, stay down. I want you to listen to this evening and get this. You hear me? We want to learn how to pray. You need to pray. And I'm telling you tonight, you hear me tonight, I want us to be a church that knows how to pray and get a hold of God. I want to encourage everybody. I've been telling you ladies, get your prayer partners. Anybody done it? You don't have to raise your hand. If you haven't, do it tonight. Say, hey, I want you to be my prayer partner. And we're going to agree to pray. We're going to agree to pray every day at a certain time. Every amount for a certain time. We're going to pray. And we're going to pray. I remember years ago when I first started preaching, I tried to make up my mind that I was going to pray every night from 10 to 10:30. And I did pretty good there for a while. You know how you do that. I'd get on my knees every night and I'd pray from 10 to 10:30. And of course I'd pray in the morning and in the afternoon, but I'd pray every night from 10 to 10:30. And then little at a time, I'd go preach a revival somewhere and then it'd want to take me out to eat and I'd look up and it'd be 11 o'clock and then I'd get back to my motel room and I'd just fall asleep. You know, and one thing happens, then another thing happens, then another thing happens, then another. And if you don't watch it, you'll get to where you don't hardly pray much at all. You really get right with God and you pray real good for a while and then the next thing you know you've slacked up again and then you really get right with God and you pray every morning, pray real hard, pray for everybody and then you slack up again. You have to continually push yourself and continually do what the Lord said in prayer. The greatest Christians that ever lived on the planet are people who spent long hours in prayer. The old man that preached revival I got saved in, Brother Joe Parson, Marvin over here, he was in that same revival. Raise your hand over there, Brother Marvin. He was in that same revival that I got saved in. That old man would get up about 5 o'clock in the morning and buddy, he'd start ringing them prayer bells of heaven and God would hear and move. And that's how I got saved. I got saved that way. Listen, a modern day, some kind of contemporary hype rock and roll man didn't get me saved. This modern day crowd of swaying and hallelujah and everything's wonderful, that Jesus is cool, that didn't get me saved. An old man of God would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and get a hold of God and the Holy Ghost come on our community and that's how I got saved. And if you'll think back, that's how you got saved. Somebody got a hold of God and they prayed. Now I want to say a few things about prayer tonight. And brother, I want to say what happens when we pray? Satan's strongholds are broken. You know, people make up with each other who've been mad for years. I know people in church that get mad at each other. And one of them thinks they're right. And the other one thinks they're right. And maybe they're mad at each other over a doctrinal issue. Or I've seen people get mad because their son liked their daughter and they started liking each other. And then they broke up and the mama hates the whole family because he hurt the little darling brat's feelings. And I've seen people that won't even speak to each other in church because of some stupid something or other like that. Listen, if you're a mama here this morning, this evening, and a guy breaks up with your daughter, don't get mad at him. You ought to shout. She got married, a little zip-faced nerd. And brother, listen, hey, you ought to shout your head off. Amen. Give her a few more years before she gets ruined. And brother, I tell you, I've seen people say, I'm not speaking to them. I'll not speak to her. I
fellows. I've seen people say, I'm not giving in. It's their fault. They need to apologize there. And about that time, we begin to pray, and we begin to pray, and we begin to pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we pray. And about that time, a good old song be sung, and about the power of the Holy Ghost begins to fall in the church. And the next thing you know, one of them sees a big tear coming down their cheek, and the other big tear, and they'll walk across the aisle. That's what some of you here need to do tonight. Some of you need to do here tonight. You know why you won't apologize? Your heart's hard. And brother, you know why your heart's hard? Because you won't pray and get your heart soft. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray. I'm calling on us to pray tonight. I'm calling our church while we're fasting. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. I want to see God do something for our kids. I want to see God do something for our young people. I want to see that whole young people roll right here filled up again like it ought to be with teenagers. I want to see teenagers over here. I want to see them weeping and hitting the altar. And not just teenagers, but mamas and daddies also. You know where they come to that? That comes when people pray. When people pray. When people pray. I've seen husbands and wives fuss all day. I hate you. Hate you too. Wish I'd never married you. Drop dead. I've seen people do that and then come to church. Next thing you know, God moves in. And boy, when the Lord moves in, He reaches over and grabs her hand. And He says, I'm sorry. And she said, that's all right. It wasn't your fault. It was my fault. And they're getting a fuss over whose fault it was. And then get down the altar and get right with God, with each other. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what happens when people pray. Amen. That's right, brother. You may have to stay on your face a few days to get your marriage trouble straightened out. But Dr. Oz don't have what you need. Amen. And Dr. Phil don't neither. If there's a mother or a daddy or a husband or a wife here tonight and you're having problems in your marriage, or you think, man, I just don't love her no more. I just don't feel like... I tell you what you need to do. Don't eat one day this week and stay in your prayer closet and at lunchtime get in the prayer closet and say, God, put that love in my heart and do that 2 or 3 days and you watch what God might do. We need to pray. We got a Father. We got a Father in heaven that wants us to be right with each other. He wants you to have a happy marriage. He wants you to have a blessed home. Pray and fast about it. The last thing you ladies need to do is ask the women at work what you should do. Because every one of them done left her husband and they're miserable and they hate it because you're still with yours and they want you to leave your husband. The last thing you need to do is go to a club somewhere and say, me and my husband's having trouble. What do y'all think I ought to do? Well, the demons are talking to them, idiots. You know what they're going to say. They're going to say, forget it. But I'm telling you tonight, you have Satan's strongholds on you. Tell you what I've done one time. I was going through a rough time in my life, and there's a man giving me some major trouble. You think of the worst trouble a person can give you? That's what it is. I'm telling you, this man was in Florida, and I was in my bedroom praying, and it had been 3 months since I'd heard from any of him, and I was down on my knees saying, God, get a hold of him. God, get a hold of him. God, get a hold of him. And I'm telling you, I was getting somewhere. I could tell it. I was getting up and saying, God, get a hold of him. God, get a hold of him. God, get a hold of him. And my phone rang. And I usually would not even get up and go answer it. I just let it ring. I went in there, answered my phone, and it was that man. And I told that man, I said, I was on my knees praying that you'd call me. And he dialed my number by accident. Didn't even mean to. You tell me that ain't God. You're not going to tell me that God hadn't answered my prayer. I know He's answered my prayers. Amen. And I said, I was praying for you and called His name for you to call me. And I said, God, and oh Lord, he was as nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I'm telling you, he said, I did, and I burnt him a blister, buddy. I'm telling you, I preached him a sermon. I didn't know where. I knew he was in Florida. I didn't know where. And brother, I laid it on him. And you know what? God looked down and he said, son, I'm taking care of you. I'm taking. Boy, I tell you what. Listen, this old world ain't got. I'm telling you, I'm about to shout this thing about tonight. This old world ain't got nothing like knowing that the Lord has heard your prayers. I'm telling you, he's still on the throne. God ain't dead, people. God ain't dead, people. He's still alive. He's still able to answer our prayers. Woo! I'm mighty able tonight. Brother Danny, I'm holding back. I'm really too tired to preach, can't you tell? I'm telling you tonight, thank God he's able to answer prayer. One time, we was having a youth rally over at the old church. Second youth rally we had. Do y'all realize? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. This is our 12th youth rally. Hard to believe, man. Little Flashlight Baptist is having our 12th youth rally. And we borrowed a tent and we set it up over in the parking lot. I think Todd jumped out here and we had a big pile of dirt in the parking lot. That was a dumb, we'd like to never have got rid of all that mud. Big pile of dirt about as tall as this ceiling. And we set up that tent. And they said rain was in the forecast. They said it's going to rain. And one time, the city called, and they said, somebody called me, and they said, Brother Danny, somebody from the city's over here, and they're not going to let y'all have the service now. I said, why? Because they said there's electrical wires laying on the parking lot. That's against the city code. And I said, that's crazy. I said, we ain't going to electrocute nobody. They said it wasn't going to have to get all them electrical wires up and they had to be putting pipes or something like that. I was over there where they have the shindigs on Main Street in Morganton. And there's a band playing over there in town and it was pouring the rain. And in the grass there's electrical wires laying all over that place. And nobody said a word. That's why the devil don't like anybody trying to do anything for God. You can't tell me that ain't the devil. Them people don't even realize that it's a devil working in them, trying to stop you. And I said, well, we'll put it in the pipe, we'll dig a ditch, we'll do whatever, but we're going to have it. And that night, how many of y'all was there? The first or second youth rally we had, how many of y'all was there? There was dark clouds, black clouds, from Lake James all the way around to Salem, down through here, Hickory. It flooded all in every direction around us and never rained on us over at that time. That's the truth. That you think I'm lying. That, how many of y'all remember that? Everybody said, Brother Danny, one time I did that to Kathy Parker. We was going to have a anniversary service. 10th anniversary of it, new man. And we prayed and prayed. And I was going to have this guy fly over in an airplane and take pictures. Everybody outside and everything. Well, it come a snow on Friday and ice. And there's that much ice on the ground. And we had a big thing planned. Big thing. Y'all was there, wouldn't you, Miss Millie? And Kathy Kern, she said, Brother Danny. She said, it ain't going to happen. I said, it is going to happen. We prayed too much. We prayed. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And Sunday morning, the sun came out. And the cloud disappeared, and the ice started melting, and the airplane flew over, and we had 1,000 people there, and we shouted, and I came in the next day, and Kathy said, I'll never doubt you again. I said, listen, the Lord knows. He has mercy on them. Listen, he's our Father. He's just like you with your kids. When you want something bad enough and your kids ask you if it's right, you're going to hear, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to them? Listen, people, we've still got a God. We've still got a God in heaven that'll hear us and answer our prayer. It's a shame we're living below our privileges. Living below our privileges. We're going to have a prayer meeting Saturday night at 8 o'clock. And about every Saturday next month, come and live above your privileges. Said to the man one time. He hadn't ever been nowhere and he got on this cruise. He got on his cruise and saved up all his money, bought him a ticket. He's going across the ocean. He got on there. And every day he'd pull out cheese and crackers, and eat it. And somebody came in and he said, man, are you crazy? Why are you eating cheese and crackers every day? He said, I can't afford it. It took all the money I had to get on this thing. And they said, oh man, all these meals, 3 meals a day is included
in your price. You could have been eating them big meals every day and didn't even realize it. And that's where y'all are. There's no telling what the Lord would do for some of y'all. And you're living off spiritual cheese and crackers when you could be getting lobster and steak and an abundance of prayers answered. And you're letting some stupid TV show or a CD. Listen, if you got a kid here that goes around with them wires hanging out of their ears all the time, jerk them things out and say, talk to God for a little while. You don't need wires hanging out of your ears all the time. Robot man, there's something wrong with you. I mean, listen, there's more to life than listening to music and watching TV. There's a God in heaven that'll hear and answer our prayer. Amen. You know what happens when we pray? Our faith is increased. I'll tell you a story. Years ago, there's a little bitty church out in the country, and somebody come in and opened up a liquor store. They opened up a liquor store right across from church. And all the church members started praying, oh God, burn it down. Oh God, burn it down. We used to pray for the drive-in of Marion to burn down. When I first got saved, that was the wickedest place in Marion. And we used to get together and pray for it to burn down. And one night we was down praying, Lord, burn the drive-in down. And one of them said, well, Brother Danny, I heard the preacher say you're supposed to put legs on your prayers. Got a match? I said, don't do that. And that thing did burn down. It really did. The drive-in of Marion burned down. I'm surprised they didn't come and investigate us. But I didn't do it. One of my buddies, sometimes I think my buddies have answered my prayer. We had some people bothering us one time. Y'all remember, Terry? They'd preach at me. When me and the girls would come out of church, they'd stand right behind where I parked and preach in our face and hold up signs. And I told the church, I said, everybody just pray. Everybody just pray. Don't say nothing, just pray. And I'll dismiss, and everybody go out, and they'd be out there just rebuking us, calling us every name. I said, get in the car, girls. Get in the car. Don't say nothing, just get in the car. We'd get in the car, and we'd leave, and they'd be out there, you bunch of devils, yeah, calling me every name in the book. And I got up to the church, and I said, let's pray them out. Everybody come to altar. We all come to altar, and we prayed, oh God, get rid of them. Oh God, get rid of them. Oh God, get rid of them. And they never did come back. And I got up and said, glory to God, the Lord answered our prayers and everything. And finally somebody said, Brother Danny, your daddy. And some of them went out there and told him, if you ever come back, they're going to blow their brains out. So maybe that wasn't the Lord. I don't know. Maybe God used them to answer our prayer. I think it's Jerry Carswell and Grover and a bunch of them guys. Oh, Grover Kaiser and a bunch of them. But God answered them one way or the other. Ain't nothing wrong with helping him a little bit. So this store started praying about this liquor store. This church started praying about the liquor store. And I said, Lord, burn the liquor store down. Lord, burn the liquor store down. Lord, burn the liquor. And lo and behold, it burned down. And the liquor store owners heard about it and got mad and sued the church. And they went to court and fought it out in court. And they said, it's your fault, the liquor store. And the church members said, no, it ain't our fault. It's not our fault. It's not our fault. We didn't do nothing. And they said, yes, you did. You prayed and the church, the liquor store burned down. And it's your fault. You owe us that. They said, no, we didn't do nothing. We didn't do nothing. And the judge came down and said, I have decided that the liquor store owner believes more in answered prayer than the church members do. That's something to think about it. Whew. That's something to think about. Huh? Oh yeah, we did that too. We prayed the FCX to go out of business, and it did. And I bought it. I made them an offer, wrote an offer, said we'll give you so much money, and they took it. Same way we did with this place. Your thinking is clear. He said a missionary to China, him and his buddies, was going through. Is y'all all right in here? Is it hot to you? Missionary to China. And he said, they're going through this place where there's a lot of robbers and people getting killed by robbers. And they look and there's a dead body right there on the side of the road where these robbers have killed him. And they said, boy, we didn't think we was going to make it out of there. He said, a few days later, I got a letter from my wife back home. And my wife said, are you all right? She said, I woke up at such and such a name that night. and said, I woke up and I couldn't sleep for having a burden for you. And I prayed till like 4 o'clock in the morning before the burden lifted. And he said, that was the time that was going through that place there. See, when you pray, stuff happens. The best thing you mamas can do for your kids when they're gone to school is pray a hedge around them. Pray a hedge around them that God will protect. You're not wasting your time when you're praying. You're not wasting time. Amen. I'll say a couple of things and I'm done. There's a wall of power. You can walk in victory. Preacher called me the other day. I think it was Friday, I reckon. Friday morning. From down near Greenville, South Carolina. He said, Preacher, he said, I've been listening to you on the internet preach about fasting. I'm going to tell you this. He'd been preaching for years, and down there in the independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, dead as a doornail group. And he said, you're the first preacher I've ever heard preach a sermon on fasting. Boy, y'all must be hating that because you're the only church probably in 4 counties that your preacher preached to you to fast. He said, I've never heard another preacher preach on fasting. He said, Lester Roloff mentioned it and he's dead. And he said, another preacher, I just heard him say it one time. He said, the preachers around here laugh about it like it's a joke. He said they'll get up in the pulpit and talk about how much they eat and how come we can't wait till the meal's ready. And how the only reason I'm here is that, and he said, my preacher told me. He said, you can't have a preacher's meeting without feeding them. They won't come. I said, Lord, have mercy. That's what's wrong with us. We're digging our grave with a fork. Our God is our belly. Belly worshipers. You get up every day and all you think about, what I'm going to feed it. Listen, I can tell you ladies, you can lose 2 dress sizes by the youth rally if you'll fast 1 or 2 days a week. It won't cost you a dime. No Nutrisystem, whatever that stuff is. No Richard Simmons videos. No Troy, that old quarterback football guy's like, don't I look good now? And he's up there in a mud fence. What's his name? Trey Bradshaw, yeah. You don't have to do none of that stuff. Just push that plate back and say, God, get a hold of my kids. Amen. You say, I ain't fasting. No, that's why you got poison. You say, I fast, I get a headache. That's poison coming out of you. Everybody in here needs to fast. Everybody in here needs to fast. Everybody in here needs to fast. Paul said in fastings often. You know what he said? Preacher got up down there and he said, I fast while I'm asleep at night. Ha ha ha. Everybody laughs. One preacher got up and said, somebody said, we ought to pray and fast. He said, yeah, you fast, I'll pray. Make a joke out of it. You know what Paul said? In fastings often. You ain't no better than the Apostle Paul, brother. I ain't neither. You're a food addict. First thing you think about in the morning is eating. You don't get breakfast with you. Say, nah, for lunch. When people get in the car with me, first thing they say is, now, are we going to stop meat? Every time. God forbid, you might have to go 2 hours without feeding that gut. Bow down to that belly. You're God. And some of y'all got a big God. We pray for patience, but God sends tribulation. Because tribulation works patience. We pray for submission, but God sends suffering. Because suffering brings obedience. We pray for victory, and then God sends a storm. Because storms teach us to have a victory. We pray for strength, and God allows a messenger of Satan to knock us flat on our face so that we can be strong. Listen, when a boxer don't get strong by just beating everybody up, he gets strong by getting hit. Some of y'all mad right now. You're mad right now because you ain't getting to see the Tar Heels play. I didn't know they was playing this late till about an hour ago. There will be people if they're losing, which I don't know if they are or not, if the Tar Heels, who said that? Better put that phone up. Who said that? I feel the devil right over in this section right here. I see it, Heather. I see it right there. Okay. There will be people more upset if they lose that ball game than there was a sinner walked out of here this morning and we lost. We lost this morning, y'all. We had a good service and everything, but we lost that game this morning. I walked out of here defeated, and I mean there were sinners walked out of here this morning. We got beat. And some of y'all just said, oh boy, I can't wait to eat. Go Heels! I like basketball. You know me. I tell you, man, I love it. And I'd rather play it than watch it. But I'm telling you, my priorities are right. And buddy, when it's come time to church and do something for God, basketball can go jump late as far as I'm concerned. We're dealing with eternity. That's a stupid game. It's a game. This is real. This is real. I'll tell you this and I'm through. You know what's wrong with y'all here this evening? You've got too much. You got too many blessings, too much money, too nice of cars, too much food, too nice of a house for God, for you to get a hold of God. You got it made. You don't need to pray, you think. Tell you how they used to do? In the Philippines in World War II, the Japanese were torturing people, our soldiers, to death. And there were some people, Christians, living so close to the Japanese torture camp they could hear our soldiers being tortured, and they'd take their babies and throw them up and catch them on swords like that in World War II. And this one man was captured by the Japanese twice, and his wife prayed him out. And finally, the third time, they got him, they took him, and they said, he's gone this time and you'll never see him again. And the mother gathered five kids around her in a circle. She put them to bed on a mat, a grass mat, where they slept. They didn't all have computers and cell phones. They put the bed on a grass mat, people. Them Christian people that we're going to live with in heaven one of these days. And they laid them down on a grass mat. And they took her husband. And she said, honey, get up. We got to pray. And they all got in a circle and put a two-month-old baby in the middle of the circle and began to pray. Until 4 o'clock in the morning, she said, the burden's so heavy, I can't bear it no more. About 5 o'clock in the morning, they heard footsteps coming up the walk. And the kids got scared and they thought, the soldiers are coming to get us. They're coming to get us. They're coming to get us. And a knock came at the door and it was her husband. And he come in and they hugged necks and he said, I'm out, I'm out. And he told her, he said, he was standing there in line. He said there was 10 men lined up and I was the last one. And he said they took them one at a time and they take a sword and slice their heads off. And he said there was 9 of them. And when it got my turn, he said all of a sudden the guy in charge had a crazy look come over his face and he said, get out of here. And he said, huh, what'd you say? And he said, go on, get out of here. And he said, I took off running. He said, I don't know what he seen. I don't know what he thought. I don't know what God showed him. But he said, my wife and my kids was praying for me. And history's full of stories like that right there. If you could see the demonic powers after your kids, it'd put us parents on our knees more than what we are. We need to pray. The devil's after your marriage. He's after your kids. We need to pray. You know what happens when we pray? God does stuff. We're going to pray tonight. Come on, Miss Desi. And I'm going to ask you, last week I asked you to pick out a day and fast. Tonight I'm going to ask you to pray ever how God leads you on your fasting day for sure, for sure. Leave the TV off and just pray. Every time you get hungry, just pray. Maybe God will lay it on your heart to pray every morning at 7 o'clock or whatever. I don't know. Whatever the Lord would tell you to do. You do what God tells you to do. Ladies, I got confidence in ladies praying. When a bunch of ladies in the church get the burden to pray, you can look for God to do something. I'm begging you, ladies, please help me. Please, get under the burden. And let's pray. Let's pray. All right, let's stand. You want to come pray tonight? We're going to come pray a little bit. Then we're going to go. We're going to pray. You are not wasting your time when you pray. You are not wasting your time. Let's pray. Let's pray tonight. Let's get a hold of God tonight, folks. Amen. Amen. There's a God in heaven tonight. There's a God. Let's get a hold of Him tonight. There's a God. Husbands and wives, come on. That's right.